You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Todd Albaugh along Mr. Aaron Zommers, our producer and engineer on the board. It's 6 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock on this Tuesday, August 25th. August 26th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Welcome in, everybody, to the world headquarters of Civic Media in downtown Madison. Partly cloudy skies, Mr. Zommers. Good afternoon. Busy. Have you noticed? I'm not sure what's going on. The parking ramp attached to the world headquarters was packed.
I had full. To park on the roof.
Did you really?
I did. Never had to do that before here.
They're all inside now, but looking across the street, looking across State Street at the Overture Center, earlier there were all kinds of people out there with lanyards. So apparently there's some big convention going on.
There must be.
Camera's just a little. I set it up today. It's a little blurry. I'm not sure. I was on the Nightlight program last night. John and Gordy were guest hosting, and I came in here and maybe I got my fingerprint on the camera. Maybe. Although it's cleared up a little bit now. So yeah, you can't really see it now, but there were all kinds of people right outside there on the street, and so maybe it's the Madison Area Public School District having their teacher in service. I don't know.
Who knows? I don't know. But there sure are a lot of people downtown today, though.
There are.
I went to get coffee, and I everywhere had lines out the door.
Really? Everywhere. It's everywhere.
Well,
it's everywhere.
Not everywhere. The food establishments.
All right. Very good. Anyway, so it's a busy day downtown here. Busy day on the show coming up at the bottom of the hour. Two wonderful guests from the state legislature, State Senator Jody Habish-Tinnikin, Democrat of Whitefish Bay, the 8th Senate District, and also State Representative Tip McGuire, Democratic representative from the 64th District in Kenosha. Both of them will be here to talk a little bit about the Democratic proposal trying to salvage the Knowles-Nelson Stewardship Fund, which we have talked about many times on this program, most notably with Tia Nelson, the daughter of former governor and U.S. Senator Gaylord Nelson, who created Earth Day, and also is part of the name on the Knowles-Nelson Stewardship Fund. Nelson, a Democrat, former Governor Warren Knowles, Republican, and they created this years ago under Tommy Thompson, a Republican governor of Wisconsin, with a Democratic legislature to set aside public lands, to acquire, set aside, and maintain public lands for conservation in the state of Wisconsin. And this could be anything from public hunting to public fishing to UTV, ATV trails, hiking, bird watching. All these things that we enjoy as Wisconsinites, in large part, are a part of the Knowles-Nelson Stewardship Program. And it has been a bipartisan meeting for years, or a bipartisan piece of legislation for years. And now this last budget, it did not make the cut when Republicans and Democratic Governor Tony Evers came to their budget compromise. It wasn't in there. And so now the Republicans have a plan, a standalone bill to save it. Democrats have introduced a standalone plan today to save it. And also I took time to review the actual Knowles-Nelson stewardship program, what they would like out of this. So we're going to talk to Senator Habish-Tinnikin and Representative McGuire at the bottom of the hour, trying to see how do you come together in true Knowles-Nelson stewardship fashion so that we can better and save conservation projects in the state of Wisconsin. Looking forward to that. Also, coming up in hour number two, our lighter what's worse segment, today having to do with mattresses, the princess and the pea. We'll talk about that in an hour or two. One of our great listeners, Jill and Madison on WMDX. Well, here we go, Zomers. Here's our answer to our question. All the people down here, it's American Families Management Team Meeting. Just talked to a few people in front of Overture. They have 1,500 people here from all over the country. That's what it is. The AMFAM, American Family Insurance people.
Interesting that they're convening here. I don't know. I guess I don't know where else. I mean,
well, the world headquarters of AMFAM is on the east, out by, it's just down the street from Luke Mather's house in Sun Prairie.
I forgot it actually is based here.
It's why they call it AMFAM Field.
Insurance companies can buy whatever they want, wherever the hell they want. They can and will and do.
Don't get salty at me.
I'm not salty at you. I'm salty that it's basically money laundering, but legal.
Well, I'm happy that it's AmFam Field and not like, I don't know, some other foreign field.
Yeah.
You know?
It's not TikTok Field.
So the American Family folks are here. That's great. American Family Insurance. Maybe they can get us tickets to AmFam Field.
That'd we can already get our own through here, but maybe.
Well, maybe. Anyway, we'll keep monitoring the streets. Maybe we'll have some of those folks. Now, see, this would be the perfect time when we had a live mic down in State Street, and we could have those people come over and we could have conversations with them. But such is life. Want to start here with some national news that has state implications. We talked about this a little bit yesterday. The militarization of American cities by President Donald Trump. Not only has he taken over the law enforcement duties in the district, as they say, Washington, D.C., but now Donald Trump is saying that he is going to expand his authority and federalize troops in other major cities, all under the auspices of cleaning up crime. The problem is that many of these cities, much of the crime is already coming down, namely Washington, D.C. And we talked yesterday that where Trump is deploying U.S. Marshals, National Guard, Homeland Security, ICE, Secret Service, the list goes on, in Washington, D.C., are not actually the areas of the highest actual crime in Washington, D.C. Many and the people that are being apprehended are not necessarily people committing actual crimes. They're essentially roundups of brown people who are allegedly undocumented folks. And it turns out, no, some are actually citizens. So now Trump is saying he wants to expand this to Chicago and New York next, with other major cities on the list. And I said yesterday, based on Donald Trump formally calling Milwaukee a horrible city, quote unquote, which any of us who have visited, spent time there, certainly those listening on WAUK in Milwaukee know what a great city Milwaukee is. And like any major city, like any city, Milwaukee has its challenges. But the need to have federal troops come into Milwaukee, I'd say not so much. Now, Mayor Cavalier Johnson, who some have been saying are rumored to possibly get into the Wisconsin governor's race, Mayor Cavalier Johnson yesterday afternoon had this to say about Donald Trump putting his eyes on Milwaukee.
I think Governor Pritzker has made it abundantly clear, and a number of folks have made it abundantly clear, the president has no authority to federalize the National Guard and send them into cities outside of perhaps Washington, D.C. I don't know all the details of that even. It is concerning. It's concerning not just for Chicago, because if they do it in Chicago attempt to do it in Chicago, then they might attempt to do it in other cities around the country. That's very, very alarming. And I think that every member of not just of our community, but of cities across the country should be looking at the actions of this federal government. Right? We have local law enforcement to enforce the laws on the streets in our community. We don't need the United States military on boots on the ground in American cities. That's not what their mission is.
Mayor Cavalier Johnson of the great city of Milwaukee. I thought he was spot on. I thought he said it really, really well. And I'm not looking at this strictly politically, but In times like these, they can either propel someone in their political career or destroy them. And I thought the way that Mayor Kevler Johnson is handling himself thus far on this issue, I think he's spot on. I think he comes across as very matter-of-fact but firm, knowledgeable, but also advocate for his community. I think he's spot on this. Zomers, I sent you some audio of Governor Pritzker on this. Look at the star that he is. He's already going to take a little bit of, not the whole thing. It's kind of long, but I want to, the Mayor Johnson of Milwaukee referred to Governor Pritzker of Illinois because Chicago is in Trump's sights next. Here's what Pritzker said in a rousing press conference yesterday in Illinois.
Crime is a reality we all face in this country. Public safety has been among our highest priorities since taking office. We have hired more police and given them more funding. We banned assault weapons, ghost guns, bump stocks, and high-capacity magazines. We invested historic amounts into community violence intervention programs. We listened to our local communities, to the people who live and work in the places that are most affected by crime, and asked them what they needed to help make their neighborhoods safer. Those strategies have been working. Crime is dropping in Chicago. Murders are down 32% compared to last year and nearly cut in half since 2021. Shootings are down 37% since last year and 57% from 4 years ago. Robberies are down 34% year over year. Burglaries down 21%. Motor vehicle thefts down 26%. So in case there was any doubt as to the motivation behind Trump's military occupations, take note. 13 of the top 20 cities in homicide rate have Republican governors. None of these cities is Chicago. 8 of the top 10 states with the highest homicide rates are led by Republicans.
None of those states are Illinois. Governor Pritzker of Illinois, Democrat. Put it down there where the chickens can get at it, as Judge Weissman once said. Hard to dispute facts. Let me say it again in case you didn't pick it up. The motivation behind Trump's military occupations, take note, Pritzker said, quote, 13 of the top 20 cities in homicide rates have Republican governors. None of these cities is Chicago, unquote. Think about it in this term. Wherever you live, doesn't matter if you got a town of 900 people or a town of a million. Would you want to step out, go down and go shopping downtown and have Humvees and armed military personnel walking up and down your streets? Would that make you feel safer? Or kind of give you the heebie-jeebies. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. You can also text us on the Civic Media app. Would you want military, armed personnel, federal troops in your downtown? And speaking of federal troops, the U.S. Marshal Service went to the Oval Office and politically genuflected to Donald Trump. They gave him a gift. We'll tell you what it is on the other side. It's the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media. Ready now.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Sometimes for those of you who don't watch on the stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter, now some programs in this business, they put up like they call it a card, and it's like a curtain, and then they turn off the sound or they have like the commercial playing because, you know, whatever. Everybody can do it themselves. I told Zomers when we started this show, let's let them see how the sausage is made. And so we just keep the camera on and we keep the microphone on. Well, occasionally there might be I'm gonna blow my nose or something. I'm not gonna do that. But I hum or sing. I have just, you know how you go through your day and a song pops in your head.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so I do that sometimes. And that I was humming that song over the break. Oh, happy day.
And I was like, we have about 15 seconds left. Should I pull this up or not?
I couldn't believe you nailed it that fast. It's a happy song. It's a happy day. The sun is out here in downtown Madison at the world headquarters of Civic Media, coming up at the bottom of the hour just thereafter. Going to be joined by State Senator Jody Habish-Sinikin, Democrat of Whitefish Bay, and State Representative Tip McGuire, Democrat of Kenosha, talking about the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Fund and how we might be able to save that. Is there bipartisan hope? We'll be talking about that. Right now, though, headlines out of D.C. talked about this a little bit yesterday. It continues to develop. President Donald Trump now arming National Guard troops in Washington, D.C. with live ammunition, live bullets, and now setting his sights on Chicago. Heard from Governor Pritzker of Illinois there right before the break, saying that 13 of the top 20 cities in homicide rates have Republican governors. Turns out not Chicago. And I said this yesterday. I think it's just a matter of time before Milwaukee comes in the sight. And a very, I thought Cavalier Johnson, mayor of Milwaukee, has done a great job advocating early on, laying down the law, saying, no, we don't need this here. Just not something we need. And the question I have for you all is, how would you feel if federal troops came into your downtown? How would you feel? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Gene from Eau Claire, listening on WCFW, The Tap. Gene, thanks for calling. What say you?
I love that song, Tool, Happy Day.
Right.
Great one.
Thank you.
And I sing that around the house, too.
I'm not alone. Thanks, Gene.
Well, anyway, I keep thinking, how low can he go? You know, seriously.
Right?
If you think about it, you know, all the disasters, he hasn't shown his face anywhere or sent help immediately. And so he's got to go in with the troops to take care of crime or intimidate the people or to try to make those governors that are working for their states and really paying attention and helping people and doing their jobs. He's got to go in and make a show. I mean, you know, people should take him right over and say, hey, this is the damage here you guys didn't come and help with. I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And wasting the taxpayer dollars just so he can have a show. And it's so disgusting. I just can't believe this is our country. Thank you.
Yep.
I didn't mean to go on.
No, I appreciate it, Gina. That's a great point. That we know that Trump comes from entertainment. So a lot of this for him in some ways is entertainment. I don't think it always. 855-752-4842. How would you feel if federal troops rolled into your town? Let's go to Waukesha, home of WAUK. Rick in Waukesha, thanks for calling. What say you?
Hey, Todd. I got two things to mention.
Sure.
In the city of Waukesha here, because it's the headquarters for the county, there's more police officers than people. You got the county, you got all the municipal cities in the area all coming because of the prison, the jail, and the courthouse.
Mm.
Everywhere, every street's got a squad car on it.
Okay.
So we got plenty.
All right. Number two?
Also, I wanted to mention I was in the bookstore the other day, and a magazine cover on the magazine rack was quite interesting. It was a picture of Donald Trump sitting in front of a three-wheel slot machine, and the three wheels were up, and the first two wheels were bombs, and the last wheel was a big cash sign.
All right. All right. Very good. Appreciate it, Rick. Thanks
that was the picture.
Thanks for calling and appreciate your call. One of our listeners on the text line, this is Matt Middleton on WMDX, says, don't worry, Todd. The troops will only be in black and brown communities and it won't affect us. These MAGAs really are deplorable and seem to enjoy inflicting pain and fear on anyone that isn't white and Christian. Thanks, Matt Milton, for sending that in. I don't think it's all... I don't think it's all the people that voted for MAGA. That's just not my opinion. I think it's the leadership. I think it's Trump. I think it's the Republican MAGA elected officials in Washington, D.C. Because my guess is if you go around and do polls, I bet a lot of these, whether it's where I grew up, Richland Center, we've done shows from everywhere from Amory to Butternut to Green Bay, Wausau, La Crosse, Eau Claire, Hayward, New Glarus. I bet you that most people would say, well, we don't need federal troops here. And you're right. We don't have time for this story now. We'll get to the U.S. Marshal thing later. I won't make you wait. We'll play the cut later, Thomas. Remind me. But the head of the Marshal Service went in. They had a big presentation in the Oval Office yesterday. And they presented Trump with an honorary Marshal star and keys to handcuffs because they said you're uncuffing our federal marshals. That's kind of spooky to me. Like we're just letting the military and the marshals control things. That's not how we're supposed to do things in America. We'll come back, talk more about stewardship, conservation, and Wisconsin farm news next with Pam Young. Welcome back to the Tom Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 35 minutes now past the hour of 2 o'clock on this Tuesday, August 26th. It is a sunshiny day here in downtown Madison. Little John Denver for you, going out to our friend Junie back at WRCE in Richland Center, one of her favorite artists. But it's the kind of day you think about walking outside on a trail in Wisconsin, maybe doing a little bird watching, just taking in those late summer vibes. It starts feeling a little fallish. And for many of us, who might not own land ourselves, the only way you can get out and really do that is through public lands. Well, what is it that gives us in Wisconsin all across this great state our public lands? Largely something called the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Fund. That has been in existence for a couple of decades plus in this state, thanks to a bipartisan group led by former Republican Governor Tommy Thompson and a Democratic-elected legislature, came to an agreement and created something called Knowles Nelson Stewardship Fund, named after former Republican Governor Warren Knowles and former Democratic Governor and U.S. Senator Gaylord Nelson, who also created Earth Day. And it has largely been a bipartisan thing until this year, when it got taken out of the state budget and the agreement between Republicans in the legislature and Democratic Governor Tony Evers, and now it is unfunded. The money's run out sometime in the middle of next year, and unless something is done, it will disappear, and with it, much of our public land support system. Here to discuss how to maintain that and to grow it is a couple of people who have been near and dear to this program, working on it, first of all, in the state Assembly, part of the Joint Finance Committee, State Representative Tip McGuire of the 64th Assembly District in Kenosha, and from Whitefish Bay, State Senator Jody Habish-Sedekin of the 8th Senate District. We appreciate you both being here. Thank you very much. First Senator, you're joining us from your home there. We appreciate that. You haven't been on the program before. Welcome, as we always say. Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you ended up in the legislature.
Thanks so much, Todd. Yes, I was just in Madison and zipped home so I could make it in time for this call. I have been in the legislature, sworn in January. I was one of those folks who ran the first time under the old maps with facing a 12-point disadvantage. Under the newer, fairer maps, I was just 6 points down and I was able to prevail. What very much brought me to run not once but twice was very much in this area of conservation. I'm a longtime environmental attorney, having worked for Midwest Environmental Advocates and having served on the Great Lakes Compact committees and study committees and the like. And I very much wanted to be around and to affect the change that I had been hoping and lobbying for so many years. And that's why I stuck through it and with it and find myself here today being able to introduce a Knowles Nelson bill that I am hopeful will have legs.
We really appreciate it. And for those who listened to the program before, State Representative Tip McGuire, who joins us from his car, by the way, so dedicated, he pulled over on the way home to join us. We appreciate that. Now, Tip and I were both legislative staffers at one time in the state capitol. One of us lost two primaries for a state assembly. That'd be me. The other one has become very, very successful and gotten himself elected to the state assembly and to the most powerful committee in the legislature, the Joint Finance Committee. That is Representative McGuire. Thank you very much for being with us. Remind folks where you grew up, Tip, and how you got into the legislature.
Well, thank you, Todd, and thank you for having me. So I grew up in Kenosha County. I grew up in the Village of Summers, and I represent my home district now. And I've been there about four terms. Before that, I was a criminal prosecutor. I was an assistant district attorney. And I ran because, as you know, we really need to do a lot more to make sure that working families can succeed in this state and can succeed in this country. I will say, when it comes to Knowles Nelson, you know, it really is very helpful to have powerful voices for conservation like Senator Habersynekin joining the legislature. We always appreciate having experts and people who have a deeper knowledge of these issues to be able to advocate for them.
So let's start with you, Representative McGuire, because I think that some quick but important background is why Knowles Nelson Stewardship Fund was not included in this budget. You're, again, part of the Joint Finance Committee, which writes the budget in the legislature. It has to do with a Wisconsin Supreme Court decision, 6-1 decision. Explain that to folks and why this was not included in this year's state budget, please.
Well, I think the simplest reason why this was not included in this year's state budget comes down to, throughout the budget process, our colleagues in the legislature on the Republican side chose continually to kowtow and be held hostage by the most extreme members of their party. And they had been trying to, for a long time, anonymously stop conservation decisions from going through Joint Finance Committee. And so now that's no longer, you know, the same rules don't apply as they used to, now they simply want to get rid of the program. And it's really unfortunate. So much of Wisconsin's economy, if you think about tourism, if you think simply about our sporting heritage, comes from the fact that we have invested in conservation. We've made sure that we have public lands that people can hunt and fish on, that we have opportunities for people to be able to go out and enjoy our beautiful state. And so much of what draws people to Wisconsin comes from that. And so these conservation funds are absolutely necessary. And not only that, it's something that has been agreed upon time and again for over 30 years. There's been a bipartisan consensus that we should be investing in conservation in Wisconsin. And this year is sort of the first time that consensus has fallen apart.
So just to make sure we clarify for the audience who might not be as geeky on this stuff as I am, it used to be, to your point, that any member anonymously could, the Joint Finance Committee could basically veto, my term, any land acquisition through the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Program, because this is set up and they acquire lands to make them public lands. And it used to be that anybody on JFC could say, no, I don't want that. And nobody knew who that was. Is that correct?
Yes.
And so now the Wisconsin Supreme Court last year in a 6-1 decision said no, that we can't do that in Wisconsin. And so the Republicans got kind of cold feet because they wanted more control. They wanted to be anonymous on this, kind of like, I won't get too deep into it, but say, you know, like the co-chair Howard Markline and Tony Kurtz closing down the Richland campus that didn't want people to really know what was going on in Madison. And so they wanted to stay behind closed doors. And so when the Supreme Court of Wisconsin said, no, you have to be out in the open, they weren't too hot about passing Knowles Nelson without that. And so the agreement to move the budget along was, let's move forward without it. Is that, in layman's terms, basically it?
Yes. Yes. All right. I appreciate you clarifying that. I mean, imagine if you're an elected official and the hunters and fishermen, you know, whoever's out there fishing, know that you're the reason that public lands are not available to you, that their elected official is the person blocking that, the person blocking conservation purchases from being made and lands from being held open to the public. I mean, I think people would be pretty upset. And so I think that there's a lot of legislators who wanted to be able to stop these things, but now realize that they don't have the same capacity to do so. And so are choosing instead to try and keep the program from getting funding.
We're talking to State Representative Tip McGuire and also State Senator Jody Habish-Sinikin. Senator Habish-Sinikin, so now let's take us to the bill that you folks introduced today, the piece of legislation on the there's always, we'll get to the Republican one in a second, but you folks on the Democratic side have released a bill today. Keep me honest on these numbers. My understanding was Knowles Nelson had been moving along at around $33 million annually. The governor in his budget proposed going to $100 million annually, and the GOP version is $28 million annually for 4 years. Now today, Democrats are at $72 million for 6 years. Is that correct?
You are correct, Todd.
And so, tell us a little bit about what's in your version, the Democratic version, to save Knowles Nelson that differs from the Republican version.
Yeah, it's really important, and I appreciate this conversation because people tend to get very hung up, understandably, on the actual funding and the numbers. But it's important for your listeners and citizens across Wisconsin who are so invested in this program. I would just add, recent polling demonstrates 90% support for conservation funding in Wisconsin. I can't think of any other issue that could garner 90% support. And that's impressive right there. My office has gotten more calls, more letters in the many hundreds of people around the state and in my Senate District 8. So with that, there is this idea that has been floated that they can support the program through funding, but have a mechanism embedded that would not be workable. And unfortunately, in the Republican version of the bill, which we certainly addressed, they would require, for accountability purposes, rather than having an external council or a board review things like the Natural Resources Board, the Council on Tourism, or the Council on Forestry, all of those, to go through the entire legislative process. So any large land acquisition proposal would have to successfully move through the Assembly, the Senate, all those committees, make it through the governor before they could get final word on whether or not there would be approval. And what's unworkable about it for anyone who's been involved with any type of real estate or land acquisition is that process could take anywhere from 9 months to 3 years or never. And that unworkable process is what we really focused serious, thoughtful attention to by creating a Knowles Nelson Stewardship Council that we have all the representatives for. I'm happy to walk folks through that, that would provide the necessary accountability for these large projects without the cumbersome process and the likelihood of partisan gridlock. So that's the most important part of our bill that I want folks to realize.
And just make sure people get, let's imagine a lot of people go, whether you're Lutheran church or Catholic, whatever. Let's say most places have like a trustee in their church. And let's say that you decide to repaint the dining hall in the church basement. Normally, the trustees, it's five or six people, and they say, well, let's paint it beige. And let's say instead of doing that, you say, no. After service, we're going to take a vote on the entire congregation to decide what we're going to paint the church basement dining room and the entire church congregation. Well, that would be a disaster. And so what used to be what currently happens, my understanding, is that when these land acquisitions in Knowles Nelson happen, they go to the DNR board. And now Republicans want this to come to have the entire legislature to vote on this, which would open it up to a lot of, in my opinion, payoffs for votes on this. And also, to your point, Senator, anybody who's ever bought a property, once this stuff is in public, it can absolutely mess up the entire deal. And it's just untenable and unworkable, in my opinion. What about, in my opinion, in the Republican version, a poison pill for me is they require local governments to match 20% of state funding. So if there's an acquisition of Knowles Nelson land, that the locals now, the town board has to come up with 20% of that? Is that right?
You know, that's all. These are all matters that are still being negotiated, Todd. I think what's most important is that we came out with a serious, thoughtful proposal, and we have already reached out to the Senate and the assembly authors on the Republican side to go through provision by provision to be able to reach a compromise that is workable and transparent. What you were talking about is a lack of transparency with regard to the process. I think we really owe it to people in Wisconsin for a program this beloved to have an accountable process that works.
We're going to come back with more with Senator Jody Habesh-Shinnikin and State Representative Tip McGuire on the other side. Is there a bipartisan agreement in the cards? We hope so. We'll find out. Talk more with them. Stay with us. It's the All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Glad to have you along. 8 minutes before the hour of 3 o'clock at the top of the hour, news, weather, and sports, followed by another edition of What's Worse, the Lighter Side, a mattress edition today. So stay tuned for that. Right now, much more important issues. We're joined by two special guests this half hour via StreamYard, State Senator Jody Habesh-Shinnikin of the 8th District in beautiful Whitefish Bay and State Representative Tip McGuire of the 64th Assembly District of beautiful Kenosha, both joining us talking about the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Fund, the lack that it was not put in this year's budget, and now There's some hope that this is trying to be saved with a standalone bill. Republicans have introduced theirs. Democrats introduced theirs today. Representative McGuire, I want to go to you first. In my opinion, in looking through the Republican bill, and there's a great story in the Wisconsin Examiner from June 11th that kind of cuts through and puts this down there. The poison pill for me on their side is they're requiring local governments to match 20% of the state funding. So if you know there was an acquisition in Richland County and it was $1 million, you know, Richland County has to come up with 20% of that. You know from writing this, helping write the state budget, that local governments are already at their wit's end. I just don't see, even if it's well-intentioned, where does that money come from?
Yeah, I mean, I think it'd be incredibly difficult for local governments to come up with those funds. You know, honestly, in theory, I suppose I can see why someone would say this. You know, municipalities, towns, cities, they do have a vested interest in trying to attract more hunters and fishers to their community because it brings in tourism dollars, it helps support other businesses. But the harsh reality is that state government has been underfunding through shared revenue, has been underfunding local municipalities and local communities for a long time, and they're all still feeling the effects. We may have passed a shared revenue bill last session, but unfortunately, the cost of health insurance for lease and fire and the cost of operating a library continues to rise across the state in every community. And so communities are struggling, and they really do not have very many avenues from which they can raise resources. And so as a result, by adding this on, it will effectively limit the opportunities that we have to preserve and expand conservation in Wisconsin. And also, I think that's really going to impact a lot of the people who are trying to participate in our sporting heritage.
I'm also concerned, we don't have time to get into it right now, but in the Republican version, they're much more concerned about maintenance, which is important, but they kind of leave out the whole, you know, continuing to acquire properties. And I think that's problematic as well. But Senator Habesh-Shinnikin on the Democratic side today, again, I think well-intentioned establishing the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Board to kind of oversee this. My sense is the poison pill, if I'm back in my old party on the Republican side, that according to what I'm reading here, but keep me honest, that the governor, whomever that might be, the governor would appoint this entire board. It would not stand for Senate confirmation. And any acquisitions that would come before this board, if there's not an up or down vote on it after 120 days, it's automatically approved. I think that's tough to get through the Republican side.
Yeah, I understand. As I said earlier, our bill is very much a starting point for discussions and negotiations. We were really trying to move off this entire legislative process, which is an obvious political gridlock waiting to happen. So we just put out there what other councils have done in the past. There is opportunity to discuss those provisions or aspects that would be non-starters for sure. Again, just the big picture of this is that we are trying to move forward with Knowles Nelson funding and reauthorization. that honors the integrity of the program, which has been around for 35 years, a resounding bipartisan success story. But it's so important to preserve public asset, preserve access to our public lands, maintain habitats and wildlife, access to our waterways, and of course, the needed improvements to our state parks, which ranks last in the country for funding. So there's so much need to have a functional program that we just cannot afford to compromise it through a process that will hold things up.
I give you both props for saying, hey, we wanted, this is a starting point. And I also want to give a shout out to Representative Kurtz and Senator Teston. They've said as well that the proposal they put forward is a starting point. I think that's healthy for both sides. Here's my question to both of you, and about 45 seconds each, because I'm up against the clock. There used to be a time when Tommy Thompson was governor, and he would have both sides come over to the executive residence in the basement. There were no cell phones. Bob Lang from the Fiscal Bureau would come in, and he'd say, all right, God dang it. He wouldn't say that, but he'd say, God, we're going to figure this out. Who is it? Who is it in this state that's going to bring people in a room and say everybody's got to take a bite of a crap sandwich in order to get to a result?
Well, I think that everyone involved in this process is interested in getting something done to preserve and expand our conservation, with the exception of the extremists that we mentioned earlier. And so I think, luckily, this session has shown some signs of bipartisanship and some opportunities for us to work together. Now, as you know better than anybody, Todd, that has been rare in the last 15 years in the state of Wisconsin. And so given some of those you know, grass shoots of bipartisanship, I'm hopeful, I'm optimistic that we can get something done.
Senator, 45 seconds.
I just want to say that I hear where you are coming from, but I too am hopeful. I joined Representative Kurtz at an Audubon event a couple months ago, and he spoke passionately and from the heart in support of Knowles Nelson stewardship continuity. And I definitely take him at his word that he wants to make progress on this. And there are many others on the Republican side of the aisle who feel the same. The legislative process is by its nature collaborative, and the people of Wisconsin really are expecting legislators to work together to reach agreements and make those kind of compromises and negotiations. And we don't want to disappoint them on this. So we just need to show up for them by really working hard across the aisle with one another.
State Senator Jody Habish-Sendekin, State Representative Tip McGuire, I appreciate both of your time. I appreciate you taking this issue on. It's so important to people across Wisconsin, no matter who they vote for. We all get value and added value from our conservation and our ecology here in the state of Wisconsin. So thanks for doing your work to save this great, important program, the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Program. Thank you both for being on today.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting us.
Come on back. Hour two is next. It's the All Ball Show.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.